Icewind Dale has become trapped in a perpetual winter. Ferocious blizzards make the mountain pass through the spine of the world exceedingly treacherous. This land has not felt the warmth of the sun in over 2 years. In fact, the sun no longer appears above the mountains, not even in what should be the height of summer. In this frozen tundra, darkness and bitter cold reign as king and queen. Most Dale residents blame Oryl the Frost Maiden, the god of winter's wrath. The shimmering aurora that weaves across the sky each night is said to be her doing, a potent spell that keeps the sun at bay. Dale folk live in scattered settlements known as Ten Towns, that drop off in caverns coming from the south, and travel between the settlements in the never-ending winter has left everyone feeling isolated. Although each town has resolved to appease the Frost Maiden with sacrifices of one kind or another, no respite from winter's fury seems forthcoming. For adventurers such as yourselves, Ten Towns is a place to test one's mettle, and in the spirit of heroes who have come before, leaving one's mark on this frigid, blighted land. The group of you have been travelling together for no more than a 10-day. Each as individuals have made your travel up the Ten Trail and braved the harsh winter conditions through the mountain pass. The five of you have recently set off from the town of Bryn Shander in Ten Towns. You headed off to the west after being given a task to complete by a half-elven woman by the name of Danica Greysteel and her human associate, Velin Harpel. Danica asked you to look into catching one of the creatures known around the Ten Towns, a nature spirit known as a Chewinga, to find one and, if possible, bring it back for her and Velin to study, as they believe that there could be some correlation between these nature spirits and an answer to the Frost Maiden's never-ending winter. She handed you a small brass lantern that burns whale oil, and said to you that in the presence of elementals, the light from this lantern will turn green. And with that, she sent you off across the Ten Towns to try and track down one or a few of these spirits. And you made your way through to the west for the road up to Targos and were unsuccessful there, which led you even further west to the Shenagain River and the town of Bremen. You crossed the frozen river and find yourselves sort of heading up a fairly narrow, fairly shallow slope up into the town proper. And as we sort of pan across the group that heads into the town, start with Lexoriel. Who do we see?
You see a high elf. He's pretty tall. He's 6'3". And he's very lean and covered in furs, beneath which, close to his feet, you can see that he seems to have also a robe underneath in tones of deep blue and goldish trimmings. He has long blonde hair, like ashen blonde, and he has piercing blue-gray eyes. With him, he carries a couple of books hanging from his belt. He helps himself with a staff, not too fleshy, but still ornated staff, and other little bits and bobs, but he seems to be traveling light.
Okay.
And as we sort of scan past Lexorio, there is a very hulking figure stood next to him. Hyde, what do we see as we pan past?
You see a large hulking figure, and there's absolutely no doubt that this is a Goliath, that just under 8 foot tall. He's an imposing figure. He's lightly dressed for the weather. In particular, his shiny bald head, which is uncovered. He's simply dressed, but in clean gear, and he has a belt fastened securely around his waist. And you can see hanging from it a set of well-kept and shining blades that, on closer inspection, would be clearly recognisable as a set of chef's knives. In contrast to that imposing figure, his eyes are light blue and warm. You can see flash lines and creases around his eyes. And from his body language, you can tell he's just a friendly, jolly guy.
As we move on a little further, we'll pan quickly down to one of the smaller members of our adventuring party, Atlas.
So as the camera pans down to about Hyde's waist, there is the top of a woolly cloak of this dwarf. He's grey of skin, so he's easily recognisable as a Duergar dwarf. He's got a set of snow goggles over his eyes. And he's got this big cloak pulled tightly around him, so you can't really see kind of what his body kind of shape and everything's like. He just looks like a big ball of fluff. Hanging off his belt, he's got two ice axes, which kind of gleam in the sun. And a big backpack with a big pickaxe attached to it. And he kind of just trundles along and he looks like he's just completely sick of the cold. And he keeps running his hands through his big grey beard every now and again, trying to tuck it back into his cloak as it works its way out. And he just looks uncomfortable.
And someone probably equally as unhappy in the cold, Orlin, as we move through, what do we see?
You see a 5'9" moon elf with very pale, almost bluish skin, pale silvery blue hair pulled back into braids that are wound around her head to keep her very long hair out of her eyes. She's not as well wrapped as the older elf in the party, but you do hear the faint sound of chainmail jingling as she moves. She also has a staff that she's using to check the snow in front of her. But she has a longbow and a shield strapped to her back. And on the shield you can see the sign of a moon with a crescent above it picked out in silver.
Okay. And last but by no means least, we pan down and catch a glimpse of a half-elf, Fianna. What do the people see?
Fianna is the resident half-elf of the group. Her eyes are probably even more striking than the ones of Lixoriel, because they are just like a plain silver, and so striking that you think somebody plucked two silver coins and put them in her eyes. She has black hair that is partially braided, mostly just to keep it out of her face, and it's a little longer than shoulder length. She wears a somewhat cobbled together armor that is made out of leather, but at the seams where the joints meet, of the arms and the legs, and also parts of the chest, you can see threads, or rather thick leather threads, that hold it all together, and they are like tied together. It looks somewhat weird, almost like the armor is made to expand, which doesn't make a lot of sense because she's 6 foot tall. But if you take a closer look, she's not exactly pretty. She's striking in a way that is almost unsettling. She has very fair, almost porcelain white skin, and it stands in stark contrast to her very dark hair, and her face is also very angular and sharp.
Okay, and this is the motley crew of adventurers that we see ascend the slope into Bremen proper. And from what you can sort of tell of the town, it's not very large to begin with. There are a number of businesses and settlements that branch off the main street where you stand now. A small fountain in front of you is completely frozen over. You can see to the north of where you're stood a group of fishermen sort of struggling with boats out onto the frozen river and are heading even further north, assumably to where the lake is no longer frozen or somewhere that they can go and fish at least. People here aren't hanging about, they're going in. Either they're going somewhere with a purpose or they are darting from building to building, trying to stay out of the bitter cold. The clouds overhead threaten snow at some point, but for the time being, you guys have made it mostly unscathed. There's been sort of a light fall of snow, but you got from Brinchander to here in pretty good time.
Do we have any sign in sight? Those hanging from the buildings to identify what could be there. I'm looking specifically for an inn or at least a tavern.
You can see from where you're stood sort of by this fountain, you can see that there's a almost a town square type area directly ahead. And there seems to be more shops and what might be another tavern or a rather large inn at the bottom of the road that you're currently stood on, off to your left.
All right. I start to move towards this building, not saying much. I'm visibly uncomfortable.
Okay. Is it the ones that are dead in front of you or the one off to your left?
The one off to the left, the one that looked more like an inn or a tavern.
So as Lexorial heads towards the what he thinks to be a tavern at least, are you guys going to follow or are you going to have a look around the town anywhere? You've only been on the road for maybe an hour so far today, so it's still... The sun is only just coming up in the very narrow band of daylight that you'll have.
I take a look at Atlas and just, do you want to go inside or you want to stay and take a look around?
I just want to be warm. Let's just head to the tavern. Right. I'm sick of this cold already.
Sun's coming up anyway.
Tavern's never a bad place to find out more about a town anyway.
All
right. Well said. And you see, Atlas tucks, his hide starts to move, Atlas tucks in behind and uses Hyde's trail so it's easier for him to walk because he's so short. And he just kind of follows behind using his footsteps.
Fiona does exactly the same thing.
Using them as a snowplow.
Hyde will be the windbreaker for today.
Yeah.
Aurelin agrees and doesn't use Hyde to break the trail, but sticks relatively close.
Okay. You make your way down, and what you find at the bottom of this road is a sign for an inn that hangs down called the Buried Treasures. You sort of push the door in, and inside you are sort of immediately met with sort of a wave of hot air, as you can see two hearths burning on the far side of the room, and a middle-aged...
Oh, this is perfect.
Is there any seats by the fire?
Yeah, why not? There's sort of a table for five set up by one of the fires, like near the door to the kitchen.
Atlas is beelining for that table.
You see a middle-aged woman behind the bar, sort of gives you a wave. There are a few patrons dotted about, but mostly they keep to themselves. And once you're all sort of situated and comfy, the woman heads over, her hair's starting to grey at the edges, but is otherwise of a deep brown. Rough estimates, she may be. Maybe late 40s. She looks over, as she comes over, she says, "Welcome to the Buried Treasures. Is there anything I can get for you? Do you need rooms? Do you need food? Is it a breakfast and a drink? How can I help? How can I be of service?"
"Well, something to eat and drink. Something warm, preferably."
I can certainly help you out with that. I don't recognise your faces. Are you new in town? Are you looking to stay? Or are you just passing through?"
Atlas takes off his snow goggles and puts them on top of his head and looks at her, and he's like, "I think the plan is just to stay for a couple of days, yeah. I've got a small job to do. We'll hopefully get it done, then we'll be heading back out."
"Well, it'll be 2 silver a night if you wish to stay. And that'll include an evening meal while you're here."
"Oh, that sounds absolutely delightful."
I'll go and grab you something to eat and we can sort out the rooms later." She sort of scurries off into the door to the left, leaves you sort of with a minute to gather your thoughts.
Atlas will perk up and kind of look at the group and he's like, "Do you think we'll ever find any of these Chwunga things?"
Chwunga? Atlas, for... I lost count how many times.
I'm not good with names.
I know. They're supposed to be around. I guess sooner or later we're going to stumble over one, won't we?
Better be soon.
They are meant to be common in around the place, but it's what happens when you're trying to find something.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's right because of this that we have been given this task because they're no longer that common.
No, they usually play tricks on people quite often. If you leave your window open or something, they'll come in and steal shiny things. Not essentially, like, they're not exactly thieves, they're more like they'll steal your cutlery, right? But they'll leave anything that you don't have out in the open. So they're mischievous, they're not evil exactly, they're just sometimes they're around town, sometimes they're not. It's hard to pin them down.
It's just hard to find, that's what they are.
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever really talked to them that I heard of.
Well, our job is just to find them and bring one or two back. That's all I need to know. I'm not in for chit-chat with lesser elementals.
Just tell it how it is, Lexoriel.
Right. You're a cheery one.
Auralyn looks at Lexoriel and just goes, "This is not the way to be, you know. You have to look at everyone as equals."
Mm. Let's not get philosophical again, niece, please.
But this is what I do. This is what I trained for.
I do know that.
So,
well, let's get warm.
Yes, on that we can agree.
It doesn't take long before the tavern owner reappears with 5 bowls of what is what you assume to be the remnants of breakfast, like a thick barley porridge sweetened with honey, and a few mugs of, well, 5 mugs of warmed mead. And she says, I hope it's to your liking. If there's anything at all wrong, do let me know, and I'll try my best.
One question, what's your name?
I'm Cora.
Hi, Cora. Thanks for the meal. Porridge is awesome. And Fiona just starts tucking in. Like, she eats like a soldier. It's very methodical. Like, it's just food in mouth, eat. Because nourishment, I need sustenance. But you can see that she's enjoying it as well.
If you do need anything else at all, if I can help you find anything in the town, do let me know. I'll try my best. And as you've been sat there, a few more people have made their way in. Specifically, sort of a pair of dwarves have settled only a table away from you. What you can sort of overhear, anyone with a passive perception over 14 or more.
Only me and Orlan. Oh no, Hyde as well.
Well, it's a real shame about about them boats that have gone under. I hope Morin and his family are alright. With him getting that frostbite, I don't think he'll be out in the water anytime soon. They worked out what's causing the problems. It's some beast in the water, but we don't know. Hopefully, either Grinsk will see the error of his ways and stop sending them poor folk out onto the water, or he'll actually find someone to deal with it. But you know what he's like. And they sort of go on into a deeper conversation. You hear the topic change to the up and coming night of sacrifice, and you can sort of hear them very displeased about having to give up heat for the night again.
What is the name that they mentioned again?
Grinsk. That's Grynsk.
Sad to hear a town going through hardship like that. Fisher boats are the heart of towns like this. You know, a good hearty meal in this cold weather is just what everyone needs. It's not a good thing to hear.
Yeah, it certainly sounds unpleasant.
Sorry, what are you guys on about?
The couple of dwarves over there were saying that there's a beast in the water. Been having some trouble, and sounds like some boats have gone under.
There's always some beast in the water, or creature down a mine, or abominable yeti terrorizing some village.
Well, it's good for business, isn't it? How else are we going to earn some coin?
Why can't it just be a nice, you know, is it a rat infestation in a tavern or something?
Because it's never a rat infestation. Come on, Atlas. We've been down 2 mines together. There's never been any rats. There's always a monster. Sometimes an even bigger monster that ate the first monster.
That's true. Just sometimes I just want to be warm.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants to be warm in this area. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm afraid, my little friend, that this is the wrong place to actually want to be warm.
Fiona gives, like, sorry, at this point she just kind of stares at him. Because, like, You do see the irony in that, right? Because you're the one that is the most grumpy out of all of us whenever he's cold. And you're always grumpy. So I don't know if you're just a grumpy person or because you're always cold, but do you see the irony?
I prefer not to lose my time thinking about such things.
Wow. This is and I go lovely. Right back to eating.
Yeah, this is lovely porridge.
I'd follow along with the food. You can always tell when food's been made with love. This is a pretty good porridge.
Yeah, the honey just gives it like this really nice sweetness, but not overly sweet, you know, it's just a really good porridge.
The question is though, Hyde, what would you do to improve this bad boy? You're bound to have some spice hidden away somewhere that we don't know about.
Ooh.
Indeed, but you know, it's rude to season the first meal that someone makes you. So maybe tomorrow we'll liven it up a bit. Might give her a few tips in the kitchen.
Oh.
Well, as long as you're being nice about it.
You're awfully quiet, Aurelin. Everything all right? Not enjoying your porridge?
She's happily scoffing it down. She just kind of looks up and goes, I am too busy eating. It is rude to talk and eat, is it not?
Not where I'm from.
Nope. Not where I'm from.
Well, it is where I'm from, so I am sorry if you do not agree with this.
No, you just go right back to it. Well, hi, do you think we want to try and kill that thing in the water?
Well, yeah, we should find out a bit more about what's going on around here. It's only the right thing to do while we're passing through town. Can't hurt to investigate.
I, like, reach my hand way, way, way up and, like, pat him gently on the shoulder.
I think they mentioned someone called Prinsk, something along that line. Might be some kind of authority around here. Maybe we can ask if you really want to pursue this monster in the lake thing.
Well, we are still looking for the little elemental spirit, right? But they're not going to show up anytime soon, I suppose, so we could... I don't know, maybe the thing in the water scared away the little spirits. Who knows?
I'm not being against.
I don't.
Atlas leans back in his chair towards them dwarfs and he's like, excuse me, boys. I hear you've got some monster in the water.
They look over, sort of not used to people either eavesdropping or butting into conversation, sort of give you a look. That's what we think it is. It's our best guess.
Turn around in my chair and I go, in Dwarvish, I go, so, who do we talk to about killing that monster if it went to have some compensation for our troubles?
They're sort of taken aback that a half-elf is speaking Dwarvish to them, but will respond in kind. Don't think the speaker's put a bounty on it yet, but Grinsk might want to pay you for it, but getting blood out of that tight bastard is... Like, getting cash out of that fella is like getting blood out of the stone.
Oh, so Grinsk is not your speaker in this town?
No, he owns a few boats.
Okay, and who's your speaker, if I may ask?
Speaker, Stubblegruff.
Stubblegruff. Alright, thank you, and good day.
Atlas has been translating that for the rest of the group, as it was obviously in Dwarvish, so he was just translating it for everybody. So everyone knows the crack.
Okay. So yeah, you guys can finish up your breakfast, and sort of, you have the option to either hunt down the town hall, or... find Grinsk and see whether you can get anything out of him.
Since we have time to kill, might as well pay a visit to Grinsk.
Before we leave, I go to the two dwarves and go, right, sorry, one more thing. Where would we find this Grinsk guy?
You see sort of one of them looks out of the window to see where the sun is in the sky. He'll be on the lake, or he might be on the docks if he's waiting for them new fishers that he roped in.
Much appreciated. And I make like a half bow. It's not a very good bow. It's just like I slightly tilt my upper torso forwards and then I walk out the door.
Before we leave, I go to Cora and I tell her that we have some things to take care of, but that we'll be back in a few hours for our rooms so she can have them ready.
Of course, my lord. I'll have it. I'll have it prepared. 5 rooms for you, is it?
Yes, please.
Okay. If you don't mind, leave me just with the payment for the night. I'll get everything ready for you. It'll be
of course
2 silver a room.
I pay her the 10 silver.
Yep. She sweeps it into whether it's a satchel or like a coin purse or something underneath the bar, you sort of put it on the bar and it disappears with a quickness. No, not a problem, my lord. I'll have it ready for you as soon as you're back.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
As the hand passes, he'll give Cora a warm smile and say, thank you very much for the breakfast. It was lovely indeed. We'll see you later.
Right, so see you this evening, my lord.
Atlas puts his snow goggles back on and just gives her a nod.
Before too long, you have filed out and back into the biting cold. You look back to the north the way you came and can see the docks. There is considerably less activity, but the road itself is maybe 200-300 metres long, and you can sort of see there is the figure of a dwarf stood on one of the docks.
As we're walking up, Atlas turns to Hyde and he's just like, how do you have the energy to be so chipper all of the time?
Well, my friend, you know, there's no point living life miserable. It's just as hard work as being full of life, you know. Yeah, get back what you give out there into the world.
Are you one of these it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile kind of people?
Well, you know, maybe. I think
it's just the air.
It's better quality. It's just the air.
Yeah, it makes for better humour and gentler disposition and everything. You know, it's colder down on the ground, which is because that's the reason you and I are so miserable all the fucking time.
That's true, I suppose. Let's go talk to this guy.
Do you want to do the talking?
I suppose.
As you approach, you can see that the lake itself around the docks is fully frozen, and there are very deep drag marks out onto the ice. You can see it's a pretty clear day. There are clouds overhead, but like visibility is as good as it's going to get. And you can see like 3 other towns positioned on the lake. You know, one of them is Targos, which you travelled through, and by your reckoning, think the other two may be Lonelywood and Tourmaline. But you can sort of see a few little fishing boats out there as well. And as you're getting closer, you can hear this stout humanoid call out under a big grey hood and a lot of furs. You can see sort of the steam leave his lips under this big frosted beard. Good, you're here. Get to it, you ingrates. These fish ain't gonna catch themselves.
Sorry, mate, but we ain't here to do no fishing.
You're not the ones that I contracted yesterday.
Nah, not us. We're here because there's a rumour of a monster in this here lake.
Nah, there's no monster in that there lake. It's the ice. He sort of points to one of the two boats that he has sort of laid down on their sides. One of them is in pretty good condition. The other one's a fair bit battered. You see this one? The last crew that I had on this were born with pits for eyes and straight into one of the damn ice floes.
Can I make an investigation check to see if that boat is actually damaged by the ice or if something chewed on it?
Yeah, you can certainly make an investigation.
Do I get advantage on that?
Nope.
Or is it not one of those?
It's not one of those.
At the point where this person had said about Ingrid, Aurelin would have put her hand on her uncle's arm just to stop him saying anything.
I rolled a 15.
Okay. On a 15, it looks like the damage to the boat is consistent with either something having hit it or it having hit something. You can't see, like, teeth marks or anything like that. It looks like blunt trauma.
Okay.
Is this a first and only incident you've had on the lake with folk?
First one with one of my crews, but from what I've heard, there's been other problems with other boats, but I keep myself to myself.
So no people have been injured, or vanished, or half-eaten, or mutilated. She's just going to keep going.
I've heard that one or two have fallen overboard and the water's cold. You may not come back.
Do people usually go overboard?
If they're not careful, aye.
Well, if it's just the ice, then we've got nothing to worry about. Nothing to solve here. Let's go.
But if you're interested, I'm looking for some fishermen, as the ones that I pulled up yesterday have no-showed. I'll offer you 5 copper per trout that you can pull up.
I look Fianna and Atlas with a look.
Thanks. That's not really our speed.
As you're like trying to politely decline him, you hear footsteps approach on the creaky dock from behind, and another much taller figure, sort of a similar height to Lexorial, approaches, sort of wags a gloved finger at the frosty bearded dwarf. You have no honour, Beryllborn. The newcomer just sort of yells at him, pulling down at a muffler to reveal, a half-elven face. You're sending these innocent people to their death for what? A few fish?
So there is something in the water.
Grinsk shakes his head a little and says, pay no mind this rambling fool. He doesn't know what he's on about.
Can I make an insight check?
Yeah, you certainly can.
Dirty 20.
You can definitely see by his body language that he may not have been 100% honest. And the half-elf even interjects, did you tell them about the monster?
I go up to Grinsk and uncomfortably close, and I lean down. And again, the skin is like porcelain, it's white, it's perfect, but her eyes flash red. You've been lying to me. I don't like it when people lie to me.
Hi there, Ivor here. I just want to say thank you for stopping by and listening to the first episode of Dungeons Beyond Dice. We really appreciate you giving us the time out of your day and hope you enjoy what you've heard. We'll be back in 2 weeks, but in the meantime, if you'd like to leave us a review on the podcatcher of your choice, we'd greatly appreciate any feedback that you have for us. I'd also like to give a big thank you to a friend of the show, Volanda from the Lucky Die podcast, for the immense amount of help she's given us while we've got this project off the ground.
Hi, I'm Lek, and I've been playing Lexorial. You can find me on Twitter and YouTube at LexPlay00, where I make a mess of playing video games and designing tabletop RPGs.
Hi, I'm Jason, I play Atlas, my Twitter handle is saltmarshdm_jazz, and I ramble aimlessly.
Hi, I'm Rina, I've been playing Fianna, and I have a freshly minted Twitter where not much is happening, but you can find me under the handle at LaymanRina. See you there!
Hi, I'm Lilth. I played Auralyn, and you can find me on Twitter at purplebeholder and on Insta at purple_b.holder.
Hi, I'm Neela, and I've been playing Hyde. You can find me at Instagram at polyhedral_potions and on Twitter at polyhedral_pop, where I make dice.
I'm Ivor, your friendly neighbourhood GM. You can find me on Twitter at evidentlyivor.